Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You wanted the best. You got the best.
This is Hall of Famer Dave LaGreca.
And two-time Hall of Famer Bully Ray.
And you are listening to the Shout It Out Loudcast with Zeus and Tom right here.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Oi.
This is James Simmons.
Put that cookie down.
Yes.
Stop pressing the button.
Star Broker Simmons.
Star? Stanley.
Stop shouting!
He's not what you would call a handsome man.
Oh no, here come the kiss times.
Is that a positive thing? Okay.
Alright.
I'm gonna grab me an ice cold mellow yellow.
Why? Why do that to the fan?
Stop it.
Why?
Cause fuck them.
Clap them.
What are you talking about?
617-525-0.
Yes. Settle down.
Hello. Hey, what's up there, Kiss Army? Tom and Zeus, another episode of Shout It Out Loudcast, episode 262. Dave Snake Sabo and Rachel Bolin of Skid Row. Wow.
Awesome. So fucking cool. You guys are going to love this. This is so cool.
Yeah, the awesome guests keep coming on, and we're very fortunate, very fortunate.
Yep.
So, Tom, before we get started, as we always do, we always go backwards. We talk about last week's episode, which was like the best six track on a Kiss album.
Yep. Yep. So we did a poll, as always, and the four options were my top two picks and Zeus's top two picks. So we know there's a lot to choose from, but we just made it like that, and of course, we got a lot of write-ins. So we said, which is your favorite sixth track on a Kiss album? Is it All Hell's Breaking Loose, Come On and Love Me, It's All Right off of Paul's album, or Love Gun? Once again, Come On and Love Me, kicking ass on a poll, 42%, Love Gun at 32, All Hell's Breaking Loose at 18, and It's All Right at 8. Come on, people, give that a little bit more love. Brett Roscoe says, I really like It's All Right. Love Gun is a classic. Come On and Love Me should be number one here. But something about All Hell's Breaking Loose, it's just amazing. I'm picking it first. Our buddy Steve, It's All Right. Great song from the best by far of the solo albums. Ooh, I like that. I like that a lot because he's right. Let's see what else some people had to say about this. Heavy Mayo. It's been a rough week in the Heavy Mayo household, but Tom's bewilderment at Kissin' Time gave me a chuckle.
Am I going to get a little chuckle or a giggle or something?
Nice. Wally Vidal, great episode. Yeah, Tom for tomorrow. Yeah, Zeus and Fast Kiss for Under the Gun. Also, the SIOL playlists are awesome. Get better, Tom. Some mellow yellow will clear that right up, brother. Yeah, thanks, Wally, and thanks for all the well wishes. Kind of struggling with a little bit of a cough here as I talk. I'll try to get through it, though.
But, Tom, you brought up a great point. The Spotify playlist.
That's right. We're working on them. We're going to eventually every episode that has some kind of playlist slash ranking slash draft is going to be accessible for you. And we're glad that you guys are enjoying. I think it's a great way to kind of join up with the episode, you know, so you kind of experience it and listen to it. It's just fun to have some Kiss playlists.
And in addition to that, Tom, can you just give them a quick heads up on how to find it? Because we're getting people going, I can't find it.
Yeah. So what you need to do is, so when you're on Spotify, you want to search for Shout It Out Loudcast. Okay. You're going to get a bunch of different results at the top of the thing. If you're searching for like a song or an album, sometimes it'll say artist, song, album, and you click on that. When you search for us, you're going to have a couple different options to choose from. The playlists are under our profile, not the podcast. So when you search Shout It Out Loudcast, you want to tap on the, on profile. When you tap on that, tap on the Shout Out Loudcast profile, and that's when you'll see all the playlist. The podcast page of Spotify is just the episodes. So check that out. If you guys still have any problems, just reach out to us. It's not a big deal. West Beach, some really great songs, but My Way over Love's a Deadly Weapon? Oh, we knew we'd hear from him on that. He loves that song. Sergio Mendoza Hockman says, New York Groove, even though it's a cover. Come On and Love Me is a very close second place. So we got a write-in vote for New York Groove. And that's what we got on the Twitter machine.
On the cesspool called X.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Not much better on the Book of Face here. The Greek Thunder from Down Under. Thanis Akratides. Great show, guys. Some tough choices. But I think you mostly got it right. If you took out the fatigue factor and had songs of merit, number one, Love Gun, a close second, is Come On and Love Me, knowing I'm a little biased, as my band, Frozen Tears,
yes,
has done this on our second album. I also agree with Jungle, Tom, and yes, George, Love Under the Gun. I would have had Magic Touch in My Way in there. Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Get well, Tom. You're a trooper, and that cold weather has nailed both yourself. And George, back here in Melbourne, it's 37 degrees, 100 Fahrenheit. We're melting.
Oh, God. Nice.
Ryan Michael Scott, Kulik Lane, Tweed Simmons, Kentaji Brown, fucking.
Jesus Christ. Ramaswamy.
Amy Barrett, fucking Ramaswamy. All Loudcast episodes are fantastic. But my favorites may be the guys talking Kiss and their music.
Yes.
Love these tracks. And track six have some great songs. My top three. Come On and Love Me. It's All Right. Tomorrow. You're Wrong, Zeus. Can't wait for track seven. Well, that'll come next year.
I love that you guys love this because, like we said when we were recording the episode, sometimes it's fun to just talk Kiss music and just nerd out on the songs. It's awesome.
Yeah. Over on Loudcasters, Christopher Powell says, not only is It's All Right the best number six song, it's a top three Kiss song of all time. It's that damn good. Hard to argue that. It's right up there, Chris. I've been shouting the praises of It's All Right since this show began.
Agreed.
You're absolutely right.
Yep.
Scott Sunders. Yes, these episodes accompany my weekly housework on Saturday mornings while my wife sleeps in. She teaches middle school. She more than deserves it. The housework always sucks, but the episodes always deliver, Thomas Zeus. Thank you. I would also be remiss not to mention how much I love this community you have built. If I need a guaranteed laugh or a great Kiss story, I can always count on this page to make that happen.
Wow. Wow. Appreciate that. Thank you. I agree with you very much. Great group of people we have here. We're lucky.
Yeah. Joseph Collins adds, great episode as always, guys. Come On and Love Me is probably Paul's best song. It's up there.
Yep.
Justin Steele, great episode. I love when we get the clips of the songs.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there laughing as you guys are fighting over which song sucks for the simple reason that I love every one of those songs. It's
That's
Kiss
awesome.
Songs, so they don't really suck, but they suck in comparison.
Some of them suck.
There's plenty that suck. Over on Instagram, Junior Vintage, the baseline in Jungle is one of the all-time best in the Kiss catalog. So mm-hmm. many great choices here at number six, but for me, the Desert Island choices, get rid of that saying. I'm sorry. Come On and Love Me, Love Gun, Sweet Pain. I like Sweet Pain. Tomorrow, yeah. And I don't think Only You is an option, is it?
No, Under the Rose was.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
Yep.
Oh, you know what? It could depend on what version he has.
Oh, actually, you know what? That's a good point. Yeah, good point.
Yeah. Tui Liam, always nice to see Love Him, Leave Him get some respect put on it. Definitely one of Kiss' most underrated deep tracks. That is Gene being Gene. Great mm-hmm. drumming from Peter and one of Ace's most underrated guitar solos. Blows my mind that this song never became a live staple, but maybe that's the best, as it now doesn't have the fatigue factor of some other tracks. But all these songs wouldn't have fatigue factors if they spread out the fucking songs.
Great point. Great point. Yep, it's true. But
thank you for that. Over on our YouTube, I like it like that too. Love these episodes. The Kiss song discussions are always my favorite. Glad someone picked Domino and not Easy Thing.
Oh, I don't think that was ever going to get picked. No worries there.
Hey, Keenan, 5618. Hi, guys. Ken here from Kiss FAQ.
Ken. Guys. All right.
You guys are too funny. And got to say, Sweet Pain is a nice pick. Enjoyed the show. Thanks, Ken. We appreciate it. And people can always enjoy Kiss FAQ.
Absolutely.
Tons of shit to go through there over there.
Yep.
And find something that you like.
Always.
Patrick 2420 says, does anyone remember Kiss podcasts before Shout It Out Loudcast?
Oh, geez. Yes. Like the one we just mentioned. Kiss FAQ has been there since the dawn of man.
Like Kiss.
Do you like Kiss? Do you like Six Tracks?
Is Paul Stanley a good singer?
I like my gold Kiss bar.
Marty White, after you mentioned the terrible performance of 10,000 Volts, I had to check them out. Ace's shows for the last few weeks have been endless comedy, but this was worse than Piss. It was a sonic horror show, and that drummer and the graceless way he played the hi-hats made me wonder if he just started playing yesterday. Don't know the drummer personally.
No.
We put those Ace videos up without comment and left it for you guys. So,
yes.
Yeah. Chris Flood.
Being a little passive aggressive. That's okay.
Chris Flood, 9205. Guys, like always, you made my Saturday morning fun. But did you notice in Love Him and Leave Him, the best video ever, it hardly features Paul. And you know he's thinking, this will never happen again. Yeah, you got a point.
Good call. Yeah.
Oh, we got to get to this bozo. Evil Eyes guy. Fucking bozo. Comment of the week. Track 6 on every Kiss album. Guys, nothing important going down in the Kiss world. Ace has got a new single out, Walking on the Moon. Been doing lots of fun, interesting stuff past week. You guys are scratching your head with what to do? What's it going to be, track 7 next week? Stop the frilly hate. Start reading my comments out. Stop cherry-picking the ones that massage your pride.
Okay, let's pick that one apart, speaking of cherry-picking.
Oh, by the way, he's the only one who always got blasted by other people. Some guy named Chef Salami Tits. This guy needs attention. Mommy didn't give him enough. But go ahead, Tom. I think I killed Tom with the Chef Salami Tits name.
I was just going to say, let's pick that apart. Okay, first of all, yes, we know Ace has a new single, Walking on the Moon, in a video on a tour, and we talk about it every week.
Yeah, we're not going to make an episode.
That's not an episode, boring. You fucking dipshit. That's a part of the. That's part of our news. What the fuck?
And yes, fuck the frilly hate.
Fuck you. Yeah, don't get me annoyed right now. It's hard for me to catch my breath.
Well, why don't you do track 7 next week? Dude, that is
track 7's coming next year. Baloney Tits, whatever the fuck your name is.
Chef Salami Tits. Anyway, hey, shit fuck. We fucking do these once a year. Best track because it's a fucking song discussion. That's interesting. If you don't think we're doing fucking innovative shit here, good luck finding other Kiss podcasts and what's going on over there.
And
well, anyways, I love fucking people that are so caught up in their fucking, like the Paul lovers or the Ace lovers, and they can't, if they hear anything insulting to their people, I mean, it's on our page nonstop.
First of all, it's not freely hate. We love Ace. What are you, out of your mind?
Shut the hate. Dude, it's the same shit on Loudcasters constantly. Oh, God, everybody's like, oh, another page shitting on Ace. Why? Because we allow people to put comments up and talk about the music or his performances.
My favorite comments. He's 70. I wonder what you're going to be doing when you're 70. I don't know. I won't be doing that. So that's a badge of honor that he's doing that. I mean, okay. Great. Yes.
But somebody might like it. And then when they put up stuff like, I fucking love this song, Ace's 10,000 Volts. We had plenty of posts that put that shit up.
Yeah, really? Of course.
Oh, take that down. I don't believe in that. Who cares? Let everyone have their opinion on shit. You guys need to calm the fuck down.
I screenshotted this to Zeus. We had somebody, because Zeus and I are the admins for Loudcasters. We had somebody, Zeus is already laughing. We had somebody report the post. So you could report posts, you know that, in comments. Somebody reported the post of the picture of Ace and Sammy where it said, oh, I didn't know Ace knew Mel Brooks. Somebody reported that because it was like inappropriate or hateful. Fucking give me a break, people.
Just fucking idiots like this fucking more. Oh, you won't read my shit. Well, yeah, we're going to have a podcast, shit brains, and we're going to only read posts that are negative.
Well, guess what? We read your post. I hope you enjoyed it. Fuck
yeah, we're going to get read again, so fuck off. And while you're eating, go eat a bag of dicks. Fucking moron.
Yeah, let's blow through these right here. I got a nice Facebook DM, which we love those. And this comes from Brad. This comes from Brad Sunday. And he says, hey, longtime listener, but I'm a lurker. Ooh, that's not even a Patreon tier. Maybe that'll be a new Patreon tier. Lurker status. I was curious. Maybe I'm not hearing good, but I listened to your album rankings from the Dynasty episode like 5 times to make sure. Did you forget about Lick It Up? Or am I having a senior moment? I love Lick It Up, by the way. No, we haven't reviewed it yet, Brad. We're getting to it. Also, I thought you would be amused by a story I was telling one of my KISS friends recently. So, you know when you are young and you do not understand lyrics? Well, I used to sing I Stole Your Love, the Alive 2 version, as how does it feel to find out they're showing your tits? Instead of how does it feel to find out you're failing the test? You go, anyhow, love the show, love KISS, keep on doing your thing. Well, Brad, how does it feel to find out you're showing your tits? Thank you for that comment. That's great. And let's blow through a couple emails here. Johnny G. Hey, fellas. Trouble walking on the moon, Ace? He's wearing a trick-or-treat astronaut costume from Walmart in that video. It looks so bad. It looks like something he should be wearing to paint Tom's shed. And then in Ace's voice, oh, I forgot to put my astronaut diaper on under this suit. I think I had a little accident. Lara, put down the phone and bring over the bucket and mop. Clean up on aisle deuce. Nice one, Johnny G. We got one here from Mark Bomer. It's a nice long email talking about the episode there. It says, continuing to love your show and making my way through your considerable catalog of shows, especially those centered on the hottest band in the land we all love, KISS. He talks about how we enjoyed track 6, talks about Paul Stanley's It's All Right. Great episode, Mark. Thank you very much. And we are going to wrap up feedback with an email that comes from Vincenzo Salmeri. What's up, guys? Discovered your show many months back, and I become somewhat addicted. I've been working backwards through your episodes, much like I did with the KISS catalog growing up. I can't overstate the importance of entertainment in people's lives, whether it's music, comedy, books, movies, or talk radio. We all need to check out sometimes, and entertainment in the arts in general is so therapeutic and so needed. I want to thank you guys for your show. I've needed a break from my head often these past month, and your show is just what the doctor ordered. This may not have been your intent when you started, but you should know this is the role it may play for some. My favorite episodes are the one that retrace your steps when you go to an event. Whether it's the last KISS show, the Gene event, or the cruises, those episodes unfurl like a good book. The peaks and valleys of the day, it's all good, no fast-forwarding. In my opinion, having the balls to do that makes the show unique. I'm in Poughkeepsie, New York, about an hour and a half in New York City, and I was at the Civic Center show in 1984 when Mark St. John played his lone show, so I really enjoyed that episode. I was 16 at the time. Lastly, my friend Michael Bitterman was in a band with Mitch Weissman in the early 70s. They were called Midnight. I've heard the songs. My friend had him transferred to a CD. Mitch sang lead, and man, did he have a beautiful voice. He didn't write the songs, but my friend Michael did. Maybe that's a good thing based on murdering high heels. Really enjoyed the episode. What a pleasant man. I've written too much for you guys to read this on the air, but if you do, thanks for reading and thanks for the show. Cheers, Vincenzo Salmeri. Now, Vincenzo, I edited your email a little bit because it was long, but I wanted to stick to all the key parts. And thank you so much. We love hearing from people about how our show affects you. And, of course, personal stories that can relate to episodes we've talked about, like the Off the Soundboard Poughkeepsie. Fantastic stuff, Vincenzo. Thank you so much. And for that, my friend, you are the comment of the week.
Good answer. Good answer. like the way you think. I'm going to be watching you.
Awesome, Vincenzo. Much appreciated, my friend. Tom, the other people we appreciate are the people that are in our Patreon family.
Yes.
This week, we have two new Patreon members that we need to give a shout out to.
Awesome.
One is Felicity Squires,
who joins female?
Us. What? Yes. As a cat man.
Oof. Right.
And the other is Andrew White, who joins us as a demon tier.
All right.
Both of them. Felicity, Andrew, thank you so much for joining our Patreon family. It means a great deal to us. We think you're going to like it. And welcome aboard to Patreon. And Patreon, for those who don't know, is how you can help the show. So it's an app, patreon.com, Patreon, the app, or you go to our website. Right on the landing page, it says Patreon. You click on that. It gives you four different tiers you could join. It's a monetary contribution you make to the show. And from there, then we give you perks back. So there'll be merchandise. There'll be access to info on the shows coming up, sneak peeks. There'll be Flashback Fridays. There'll be the album review crew. There'll be the March Madness tournament, which is coming up sooner than you think. And yes, we're doing another one.
Yep.
And plenty of other perks. But we really appreciate it. If you want to help the show and you want us to continue, you want us to continue to grow and get incredible guests like we've got this week, and we're not done, then support us and go to Patreon and find one of the tiers that you can join and help us out. And we really appreciate it. Thank you again to Felicity and Andrew.
Guys, thank you so much, especially to Andrew and Felicity. You guys are amazing. Thank you for all of your contributions and your generosity. It really helps the show. And we like to give back with a lot of things, like Zeus said, sneak peeks, involvement in Flashback Friday, the album review crew picks. And by the time you hear this episode, we will have had our demon tier chat, which is on Friday, February 9th. And that obviously by the time this episode drops, that will have happened. So I'm going to predict the future and say that that was awesome. Because our demon tier people are fantastic, as are all of our Patreons. So please check us out. Like Zeus said, download the app and search for us, or go to patreon.com and search for us, or just go right to shoutoutloudcast.com and click on the Patreon link. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah. And Tom, again, Patreon, we're well over 100 members.
It's so incredible. It's
come
incredible.
Join the fun, people. Get involved. It's a big, big, fun family over there. So, Tom, before we move on, one more time, I'm going to tell you that about your little pep in your step. And that is because of Magic Mind.
That's right. We talk about it all the time. Magic Mind is fantastic. Do more and stress less is the catchphrase. It's a little shot of energy and happiness. Contains a magical combination of over 12 ingredients, helps to stimulate your focus, your creativity, your energy, your motivation, decreases stress. Best way to take it is with your caffeine. I take mine with my coffee. Zeus has his with his tea. Stuff is fantastic. It's a very, very small little bottle. Tastes great. It comes with all incredible natural ingredients to affect you in different ways, all positively, of course. The stuff is amazing. It has a cumulative effect the more that you take it. So if you start, you'll feel different at day three. You'll feel different at day five, et cetera, et cetera. It's amazing. And we have a special promo code for you guys to check it out. Go to magicmind.com, and you can buy individual orders, or you can sign up for their subscription services. And you can use our promo code, which is SIOL20, and you'll save 20% off your order. Please check it out. I can vouch for it. The stuff is fantastic. It's magicmind.com. SIOL20 is the promo code, Zeus.
Awesome. Magic Mind. So, Tom, what we do next is we hop, skip, and a jump over to Kiss World.
Yeah, so Kiss World is really crickets right now. It's like fucking nothing going on, with the exception of some discussions and chatter in the KISS social media world, the Facebook groups, etc. And there is a lot of discussion going on about something that might be coming out in the vinyl world of KISS. and nobody really knows what's going on. But we're hearing some stories that it might be an expensive item, and we don't know. We like legitimately don't know. We're just kind of reporting what we're seeing on some of these groups and some pages. And we know that
some whispers behind the scenes,
some whispers behind the scene as well. Yeah, that's true, Zeus. Yep, that's fair. And we know that the box sets are dead. We've talked about that because of Kiss and Universal Music, and et cetera. But it looks like something is coming out. We know that the anniversary of the debut album is here, 50th anniversary. The date, depending on who you go to, because Wikipedia has one, another place has another. The one other thing that I will add is that, like Zeus said, some chatter in the background. It appears that not only is the item going to be expensive, but we're also hearing from a few people that the Kiss world might not be happy with this, which you put those two things together. I don't think I want to know what the fuck is about to happen. But again, that's what's going on.
Where's my CD?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I have
Where's
no idea.
Where's my father?
Where's my father?
Your father is up in your mother's ass. You fucking bums. Oh, that's what we should have asked those guys. We should have asked them if they know Red from the
Red from the Two Bar. That's true. Yeah, good
that's
point.
In Jersey.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, Tom, the only other thing I can think of off the top of my head is good buddy Ace is talking foolishness again.
I think I taught Eddie Van Halen how to do tapping. He saw my show, and I think I was the one who invented it.
Unbelievable. Why? Just stop. Stop.
Ugh. Yeah, and they're you know, Paul and Gene are going to continuously look stupid after the album, after the drops, right?
Well, speaking of stupid, Paul took a picture of him wearing a fucking scarf showing off his expensive bottle of wine, and how it sucks to be poor.
Was that this week or was that the last week?
That was, I don't think we talked about that last week.
Yeah.
And if we did, fuck it. I want to talk about it again because it was annoying.
Yeah, I know people were defending him. No, he wasn't saying that. Look at me. Look at me. I can enjoy the finer things in life. Oh, congratulations.
Man. Yeah, look at me. I name drop wine. Well, good. Name drop me some new fucking merch.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, if you got all that money, why don't you start reimbursing all that Dubai shit?
Can you believe that 4 years have gone?
I know people get pissed that lost a lot of money on it, but I just... Honey, that all you have to say to Kiss people is Dubai, and people are like, motherfucker. Oh, it's almost as good as that Ross book.
Oh, that motherfucker. The faggot that guy's out walking in public.
I don't understand how he's like still on Facebook and just talking to people like normally.
He's not.
Oh, he's not? I see no comment and stuff like that.
People are screenshotting like comments and shit. He's in hiding right now, I think.
Well. To each their own. Gene still got his event coming up where he's going to, if you want to go sing and join that, you can go do so. Tommy's, I don't know, I've seen some pictures he's posting up, but he's playing his guitar, doing, it looks like he's in a good place. Good.
Yeah, he's happy. He's not in the bread line.
Yeah, in the bread line. Oh, man. Anyways, that's what we have for now. Let's take a quick little break, and we'll get to... Rachel and Snake in a second. But first, Ace has a question.
I used to hang out at the Two Bar with my good friend Red, who would like to call names out when kids would prank the place up, and he'd get really upset and go on some sort of a tirade.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them? was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
All right, we're back. Yeah, Asa prefers Tubar over Jerky Boys, so that might be a follow-up episode. We kind of debate the merits of both.
Yeah, I think we lost a lot of people. People are like, what the hell is the Tubar? That's the old guy where people actually, the Simpsons ripped that off, where they would call the bar. And
yeah,
like,
Bart used to call
alcoholic
Moe's.
And shit like that.
Yeah.
And the fucking thing is hilarious. Anyway.
It's brutal. It's brutal because it's so raw and so real.
Yeah.
It's that poor guy.
Anyway, Tom, we've got Snake and we got Rachel.
Yep.
From Skid Row. I'm a Skid Row fan. I enjoy their music. I know they are Kiss fans. I knew that from the day I read the first magazine article about them.
Mm-hmm.
And to get them to come on to talk some Kiss, fantastic. I mean, we were supposed to have about a half an hour. We went way past an hour. And the funny part about that is, like, they came on just to talk Kiss.
Yep.
And we barely talked about some Skid Row stuff, but they are such fans, and you can tell from this interview, and we are so lucky to have them.
Yeah, it's a ton of fun. You guys are going to love hearing from these guys. Diehard Kiss nerds just like us, and the interview was fantastic.
Well, for no further ado, Dave Snake Sable and Rachel Bolan of Skid Row.
All right, this week we are super excited. We have the founding members of Skid Row, who also happen to be huge Kiss fans. Of course, they wouldn't be here if they weren't, or maybe they would. And they've opened for Kiss on both of their farewell tours. We're going to talk about that and so much more. Let's welcome the legendary Rachel Bolan and Dave Snake Sabo of Skid Row. Boys, welcome to the show.
Hey, dudes. Hi, guys. Thank you for having us.
Awesome. Awesome. This is so cool.
Yeah, so before we got on the show, there are a couple things we were kind of talking off the air. We're mutual friends with Jericho.
Yep.
And Snake is a big wrestling guy. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure about Rachel's love of wrestling. Am I correct?
Yeah, you know, I never really followed it as a kid. What I know about wrestling is through Snake. And
that's pretty much me too with Zeus. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's how I got introduced to a bunch of those guys. And, you know.
Yep.
Starting way back when with DDP and Nasty Boys.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. Yep.
Nice. You know, all those guys used to come out to shows because of Snake.
Yeah.
Their lives are very similar to our lives. You know, the way that we travel and how many shows you do during the course of a year and the hotels and traveling to foreign countries and whatnot. So there's a lot of similarities and there's a lot that run parallel with one another. So I think that those guys and guys like us can relate to each other so well.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. And so we've remained friends, you know, like I said earlier, I've known Chris since 1995. Mm-hmm. Met in Japan and our a guy that used to work with us, Elwood Francis, who's now the bass player of ZZ Top. He and I took two trains to go about an hour and a half, 2 hours, just this little town and somewhere in Japan, and ended up meeting Chris there, and he's been a friend ever since.
Yeah.
Yeah, but listen to you guys talk. You don't sound like real buddies. Sound like frenemies, if you ask me. Which is fucking great. I love the insults going back and forth. That's fucking great.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
It's the way it should be.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, the other thing is why we're friends with them, and I was trying to get to the point, and that is Kiss. That's the mutual connection that we kind of all have. I'm assuming you guys started at an early age and must have picked up on them when you were young, getting into music and stuff. So why don't we start to my left? Snake, you want to tell us about your kind of background with Kiss?
I was very young. I'm the youngest of five boys. And
okay.
So there was a ton of music that was being played throughout my house as I was growing up. So I had an amazing musical education thanks to my older brothers and my mom for that matter. I mean, it was everything from Elvis and Sinatra and the Two Sisters to, you know, 60s soul and Motown and obviously the Beatles and the Stones. And then that moved into Sabbath and Procol Harum and Spooky Tooth and Humble Pie and blah, blah, blah. Which eventually led to Kiss and amongst many others. And there was something about it that I gravitated towards. It was this larger than life superhero mystique that they had. And all their pictures always looked like an apocalypse. Like it looked like the world was coming to an end. And so when I had an opportunity, I was 13 years old, and they were the first concert I went to. It was the December 16th, 1977, in Madison Square Garden.
And the Love Gun tour.
Yeah, well, it was the Live 2 tour.
The Live 2, right? Yeah,
because it's the end of the year. Of
17. That's right.
That's right.
And that changed everything. That changed my life completely. I walked in there thinking I was going to have a future in sports, like being a baseball player. I walked out a completely different person. And I was like,
I'm
going to do something because I wanted to feel what I felt in that arena. I wanted to be a part of what they were exhibiting from that stage and how they were touching the audience, myself and, you know, 19,000 other people. And so that was the beginning of my journey in music, of actually being an active participant in some way in music.
Yeah. And Rachel, being a bass player, tell us about, you know, seeing Gene for the first time and how that affected you.
Well, I discovered Kiss a little differently than Snake had. We run very parallel lives. I was the youngest out of four. Mm-hmm. Always music coming out of everyone's room. My oldest sister always liked the British Invasion stuff. Herman's Hermits, Beatles, you name it. My brother, Hendrix, Chicago, Miles Davis, all kinds of stuff like that. And then my sister closest in age, Joanne, she listened to a lot of folk. So there was James Taylor, Carly Simon, 10 years after, all that kind of stuff. So I got turned on to a lot of stuff by them and borrowing their vinyl and all that, bringing it into my room once I got my own record player and playing it and listening to all their stuff. And then, this is great. But I didn't have my own thing yet. I didn't
come to
my own thing, you know?
Yes.
And then I heard about Kiss and my friend played me something and I was like, wow, I don't know what it was. It was just because obviously I wasn't delving into the lyrics that deeply because I was so young, you know,
it's okay. They're not that deep anyways.
I don't know, man. I pretty much learned about sex through Kiss. It wasn't.
That's true.
It wasn't through sex ed or asking my parents. That's freaking sure. But
good point.
That became my thing, and my brother saw how into it I was, and he turned me on to a lot of music that I listened to. And it was actually for my first Holy Communion, he bought me Hotter Than Hell as a gift. Yeah. So the dichotomy of that, it was pretty cool. My cat's about to knock over a bunch of stuff in my base. Okay, it's
coming. That's all right. I kept mine out, so I know exactly what you're going through.
I forgot the door open up there. But so Kiss became my thing, you know?
Yes.
So then I just listening to that, and as crazy as this sounds, the first Kiss show that I ever saw was December 22nd, same week as Snake. Whoa. I saw the Philadelphia Spectrum.
Wow.
Same tour. Yeah. It was right around, I think it was that Peter Criss's birthday is right around there, isn't it?
Yep.
So general admission, we waited outside in the freezing cold. My oldest sister Lorraine took myself and my buddy John Rizzolo, who we affectionately call Riz, took us, we went to the Philly Spectrum because it was easier to get to where I lived in Jersey and Tom's River. It was easier to get there than it was in the Madison Square Garden. For Snake, it's just a quick ride on the train. For us, it's getting in a car. So we went there. Piper, Billy Squire's band.
Yes, they opened.
They opened.
That's right.
And watching that, I was just, you know, three guitar players. I had never, ever seen that before, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, this is one of the loudest, most amazing things I've ever seen. Like, I could have went home then and been like, I went to my first rock concert. But I had, you know, I already had begun like wanting to play an instrument at this point because of Gene Simmons. And I remember bringing the picture down to my parents, to Kiss Alive, where he's leaning back, holding the bass. And then there's pictures in Circus of him with blood all over him, breathing fire. And I go to my parents, like, oh, I want to do what he does. And they're looking at it. They're like, which part? And I go, oh, the bass. I didn't even know what a bass was. And my mom's like, is that bass? Is that pronounced bass? I'm like, no, it's bass. It's bass guitar. It's a 4-string guitar. So they got me one for Christmas. And then when I finally saw Kiss, it was just, it was cool because they gave me the bass so I could start lessons early before Christmas. So it's like, okay, here's your Christmas present. You're getting it, you know, December 1st or whatever. And then I'm a bass player. So when I ran into people at the Kiss show, I was like, yeah, I play bass.
Why not?
I had three whole lessons.
Yeah, there you go.
So, so that's how I got turned on to Kiss. And when they came out, I was just like, you know, the balconies lowering off the back line.
Yeah.
I was just like, what am I watching? Like the lights went out and it was so incredible to see. And, you know, just the whole experience standing outside in the freezing cold, you know, hearing the stories of seasoned veteran Kiss fans. Oh yeah. This is my 10th show this year. And I'm just like, oh my God, I'm going to my sister. They got to see 10 Kiss shows this year. Another girl who had pneumonia, and she's like, oh my God, you know, I saw like five other shows, but I have pneumonia. My sister just grabs me, my friend, and pulls us like further back from her. And she's like, yeah, we don't need you guys getting sick. So anyway, you know, we rushed all the people. I say we, like I was really involved, rushed the gates. They had like the police gates up. They broke through that and the cops came on horseback, and it was a whole like crazy experience. And like somebody threw a beer can at the horse the horse ducked and like it kind of went out of the way and it bounced off the cop, but the horse kicked and it kicked one of the big bay windows.
Oh no. It
came shattering down. And everyone was like, you know, no one ran inside because at this point there was about 10 cops on horseback, and they were just like, everybody has to go back down. So everyone was cool. We went out and they put plastic over the window, but whatever. But that was part of the experience. Like, I guess I was about 11 or 12, and I could see that glass breaking in front of me. I remember what that woman with pneumonia looked like. I remember everything
how
about
awesome
it.
Is that?
You know,
that's so a memory. That's it.
Yep. And it's the first time I ever smelled weed.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
After that, I was like, I want to do what Kiss does, and I want to try some of that shit.
Yeah. That's fantastic. That's funny because it's Philadelphia. So I'm surprised they weren't throwing batteries at the cops on the horse.
No, right.
Snowballs. Missed the horse and hit the cop.
But it's funny because you guys are, I think, about 7 or 8 years older than us. So we're both just turned 50. So we got into them, like, and we always tell the story, we got into them when we were little. So 77, you know, we're 4 or 5 years old. Yeah. I remember that. And then, you know, at some point it gets funny because after like Unmasked and The Elder and all that other stuff, like we kind of grew out of Kiss.
Like, we're like 8 years old.
But I'm like, oh, Kiss. that's child shit. And we're 8 years old.
Yeah.
But I remember go ahead.
We were in that time period in school, like junior high and high school, where, you know, you would get in fights defending Kiss.
Yes, exactly.
Like, We're a small group of people.
So you and Eddie Trunk, because Eddie loves to tell that story.
But yeah, but that was a reality. You know, you had all the deadheads, and then you had the people who were into the Doors, and then you had the Led Zeppelin fanatics, and there was always that argument: who's better, Jimmy Page or Ace Frehley, and you know, who's better, Kiss or Led Zeppelin? And you know, we always chose Kiss, and we had a fight for it. And it's like you're defending your heroes, and that's just the way that it was. It was to be that passionate about something, about a music and about a band. There was something really communal about that. Something really special. You were a part of a gang.
Yeah. You even look at like the four of us right here. I mean, we're obviously all music fans. You guys are Skid Row like legends, and you know, Kiss had such an influence on you. But even Rachel, you said it, like you're listening to all your siblings' records. You wanted something that you could call your own, you know, like that. And that's what it is. It's like, no, that's my band. Like, don't fuck with my band.
That's a good segue, Tom. That's a good segue, because for me, like, it's one thing when you're kids, but right at that age that you guys started getting and going to the concert, that's when it changed. You get into middle school, you start getting your own stuff. And now we're 10 years old, and for us, it's 83. For me, it was your brethren. It was Bon Jovi that got me into it. When Runaway came out in 83, and I remembered it left and right, and I'm like, nobody likes this band but me. And then 7800 Fahrenheit comes out, only my band. Yeah. And all of a sudden, Slippery When Wet came out. No, you guys stole my band from me. Now everybody likes them.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's how I found you guys, because that's for us as fans. It's like, oh, Bon Jovi says these guys are great. Oh, I got to get this album. And then you see Youth Gone Wild, and we're at that age now. You're in middle school buying all that shit. The last part of this story I'll let you know is I meet this guy in college in 91.
Yep.
I come in first day moving into college. We set up our stereo systems like we're badasses. First song I played in my college room and I blasted was Monkey Business.
Oh, nice. That's killer.
Yep.
That's killer, man.
We're talking 91.
91.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm the fucking coolest kid. Listen to this. You know? And
wow. Thank you.
But that's how that age where you get in and it's your band. So, and I met him, and now all of a sudden grunge comes in. We get into the Pearl Jam and the rest of the stuff. But me and him had this Kiss connection.
Well, yeah, because in 1991, if you heard another person listening to Kiss, it was almost like sending up like a smoke signal. It's like, wait a minute, wait, there's somebody I can talk to about this band that I have to keep private, you know?
And from there, me and him kept the Kiss love.
Yeah.
Hence, fucking, I don't know, 25, 30 years later, like, why don't we do a Kiss podcast instead of texting each other stupid shit about what Paul Stanley's wearing? Yeah. We're like, why don't we talk about it? And hence this show.
And now you guys are here to share it with us. Fucking awesome.
They're still our band. Like Rachel, Scotty, and I, that's our common denominator. Like we share in a lot of things in the 37 years that we've known each other. But the commonality is we always go back. Like, we'll still send old clips. Matter of fact, the other day, I sent Rachel an old commercial for Kiss Alive that I found on YouTube.
Oh, nice.
And we sit there and we'll do stuff like that because in our heart of hearts, it's still our band.
Yep.
Like, and it always will be. And it's timeless.
Yeah, you know, it really is.
Timeless.
Yeah.
Hey, so we do a thing where his roommate from college, she was our first guest. And we call these Murph questions. I'm going to ask each of you this. Pretty simple stuff, right?
That's great.
You have favorite Kiss members. Who's your favorite Kiss member? Now, it could be, well, growing up or now. Maybe you were a Demon guy. Maybe you're an Ace guy. I don't know. Snake, you first.
Paul Stanley.
Oh, that was quick. Okay.
The guitarist picks Paul Stanley. Wow.
Paul Stanley. I tell you what, because as a guitar player, I absolutely adore and love Ace Frehley.
Yeah.
But it turned out that as much as I wanted to be like a shredder and all that stuff, and there's still a part of me that wishes I was, there is a bigger part of me that wanted to be a guitar player, a songwriter. And to me, Paul was the guy that was I didn't want to front the band, but I wanted to be, a part of writing songs and using my guitar for that. And Paul played that Ibanez Iceman.
Yes, beautiful.
That Iceman was, that's what did it for me. And so I saved up all my money when I was 16 years old, 15 years old. And I went to a music store in Jersey called Manville Music. And I went there with $425. And the $25 was in quarters. I showed up and I bought an Ibanez Iceman that I still have to this day.
Wow.
It is still as far as guitars go, it's still that's my favorite guitar that I own. And
nice.
Because of Paul. And Paul's everything about Paul, like to me, he's the ultimate front man. He's the definition of a rock star. And so I always had aspirations to try to embody some of those qualities as in being a part of a band and being a guitar player. So yeah. Long story longer. Sorry. It was
no. That's great. Awesome. Rachel.
Gene.
Definitely.
It's a lot like Paul Stanley is to Snake. It's like, it's the reason I chose that instrument. The reason I do what I'm doing. I mean, it could have been someone else along the way, but he led just, him playing bass made me want to be a bass player, and it led me to other bass players, and it led me to a lot of stuff, to not do drugs, to not get into doing drugs because Gene was so against it.
Yeah.
And I just remember him always reading that. And I'm like, man, you know, I experiment and shit, but it's like, I think of a lot of my friends, some that aren't here anymore because of drugs. I'm like, man, maybe if they had influence like that outside the music, it could have led him down a different path. Who knows? But he Gene is the guy for, and obviously his character and the demon, and that had a lot to do with it as a kid and still does. I'm not going to lie. When I see him do God of Thunder and spit blood to breathe in fire, it's like, hell yeah, man, this is great. But like outside of that, it's just, he's an amazing musician. I don't care what anybody says and how people might bag on him because of his personality. His personality is big. And I'll be the first to admit I've had great experiences with Gene, and I've had some not so great experiences with Gene on a personal level. But take all that away, he is a phenomenal musician. Like, you want to talk about a dual processor in the head. Listen to Going Blind, him, what he's playing, what he's singing. This is like Paul McCartney type stuff. And I will fight anybody that says anything different because he is an incredible musician. He writes great. Absolutely. His bass playing is great. And he'll admit right away where he cops stuff from, because we all cop stuff from other people.
Yeah, I've heard him say that stuff. Yeah.
You know,
Rachel, you bring up such a great point, and I feel like it's another thing that we have to do to kind of sometimes defend our band. It's like, oh, Gene, that guy that spits blood and breathes fire. Like, yeah, that guy is like an unbelievable bass player.
He really is.
And everybody talks about Ace, but Paul's ability as a rhythm guitarist is like fucking incredible. And it's sometimes you find yourselves taking it like personally, like, no, he's good. He can play. He's not just cool. You know, it's amazing.
Think of the beginning of Black Diamond that he's singing and that picking part. First of all, that guitar part is incredible. It's haunting.
Iconic.
It's haunting.
Yep.
And what he's singing over it, it's like the chords are falling in really weird spots for what his vocal's doing, but it's one of those things, man.
We just had Rudy Sarzo on earlier, and he said the exact same thing. He did some like Rock Band camps with Gene and stuff. He's become friends with him. He's like, Gene always downplays it. If you hear him in interviews, no, he doesn't brag about his bass playing, but others always do. They're like, he's so underrated. And it's a shame because he should be given a little bit more credit for what he's doing. Plus the singing, plus the songwriting. And the same thing with Paul. And I tell the story all the time. Nobody can write a better catchy hard rock chorus hook. Rhythm guitar, you name it, than Paul Stanley. If I had to bet my life on somebody to write a hook that I'm going to like, I bet it on Paul Stanley more than anybody.
And
that's the thing that separates him. You put him combined together, it's kind of like you two, except you guys aren't the singers. You guys are those main songwriters. People can and go, but if you two aren't there, that's the difference. The songs.
I appreciate you saying that, man.
Yeah, that's very kind of you. Thank you. When we first started out, one of the songs that we covered was Room Service back in the day.
Love it.
And so when we had an opportunity, and it may have been when we were playing in Southern California at the amphitheater, and Gene came up and played with – no, it was before this. I'm sorry. I'm getting my timeline screwed. Anyway – we were talking to Gene, and we asked him, it's like, man, where did you come up with that idea for the bow, 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 which is the chorus.
Yeah.
He goes, oh, that's like a Memphis horn line. Like a old Memphis. And then all of a sudden, the light bulb goes off, and we're like, oh, my God, that's right. It sounds like a horn section.
Yeah.
Like an old school Memphis horn line. Ow.
You got to do the leg kicks too.
Yeah, that's right.
And we were like, from a songwriting standpoint, that's brilliant. That's like brilliant, man. Like to be able to sit there, and again, you borrow, lift, steal, whatever you want to call it, from other songwriters and musicians and artists, and we all do. And that's how music progresses, is how we interpret that, but. For him to be able to hear something like that and be able to make it his own and turn it into this really badass rock song and have that be the chorus as well, that riff is really – it's something something really special.
It's and a great it's, point, yeah.
It's a testament to his incredible and uncanny ability as a songwriter to – to create stuff out of something that is so, I guess you would say, I don't want to say obscure, but something that would be totally out of left field that no one else would think about.
And the cool thing is he cops to it. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
It could have gone unnoticed his whole life, and we could have could have said, man, that's such a great riff for Room Service. Oh yeah, thanks. It could have ended there, but he cops to it, man, and I think that's really cool and it's really respectable, you know.
Yeah. Paul does that too, I think. Yeah. He talks about like some is it Shout It Out Loud that he says, oh, that's just Motown.
There's a couple songs. Yeah, there's a couple songs.
Like,
he'll
I get that from if you listen to the Four Tops that chorus and you're like, holy shit.
Yeah. It's kind of like when we had Desmond Child on and talking about kind of like the, like, I Was Made for Loving You. It's like, it's like, that's like a Motown, like background singing. So like you said, whether you lift or steal or inspire, when you make it your own, it just becomes friggin' legendary, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. So the next part of these questions goes to, we know your members. How about an actual song? Now, it could be growing up. It could be this week. It could be next week. What's your favorite Kiss song?
Man. Go ahead, Snake.
Snake, take it.
I got to think about this a sec.
If you get in the car and you want to hear one Kiss song today, you're driving over to see Rachel, what are you going to put on the car?
What song you want to play if you want to grab your guitar and start riffing on it, you know?
Probably the live version of She.
Oh, wow. Nice.
In my mind's eye is that show at the Garden in 77. They opened up with I Stole Your Love.
Tom's attention now.
That's the right answer.
that's permanently embedded in my brain. So either of those two, but yeah.
Okay. Rachel.
I think Take Me off of Rock and Roll Over. I love that song, the energy of the song. And I remember I put Rock and Roll Over at this place called Harmony Hut that used to be there in Toms River, New Jersey. It was a local record store before there was even a mall here and all that shit. And I brought it home and I put it on and started with I Want You. And I was just like, wow, this is unbelievable. It's my favorite Kiss record without that.
Oh, yeah.
Then once Take Me came on, I was listening to it. And I remember my mother poking her head in the room. Did he just say rape me? Said, take me, Ma. Take me.
Oh,
take
God. Me.
Break me. I was like, no, it's not.
I thought you were gonna say, did he just say put your hand in my pocket and grab onto my rocket?
I know that totally.
You said you learned how to like talk to girls or something. There's your line, your pickup line, right?
That just snuck right by her. Maybe she heard it. Who knows?
Yeah, right,
who knows what my mother was into? Yeah. But so she said that. I was like, no, it's Take Me and Break Me. She's like, all right, cool.
Okay,
cool.
Good enough.
But yeah, that song, and I got to play that at a benefit. And a couple of them actually. And when I lived in Nashville, and it's so much fun to play. It's the same riff kind of through the whole thing.
The whole song, yeah.
But there's little differences. And that's just one of those things. It's just like the bass thing, especially, which you're just like, wow, man, that's so cool that they thought that way. Just a little slight difference with not the notes, but the way they approached the riff as a whole. It's really cool. That's one of my favorite songs.
Okay.
Rock and Roll All Night to me still is the quintessential anthem of our generation. And it's an incredible song.
Yeah,
it is. You can't beat that song.
It's true.
So then what would you say about if I said to you guys, how come neither of you picked Come On and Love Me? Since it's on your EP, and you guys do a great job on it, I'll tell you.
Yes, thank you.
On Besides Ourselves, right?
Yeah,
that's on there.
Yeah.
You do a great job of Come On and Love Me. Nah? Whose idea was that? I'm curious, by the way.
I think that was Snakes.
Yeah, that was me. Yeah.
Okay.
To play that
it was at that particular time when we were going through stuff, that was the one that stood out. But for some reason, I'm at this late stage of my life looking back on all the you know, the Kiss songs that mean so much to me. Those two for me were the ones that I just without thinking just immediately gravitated.
Yeah.
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 I'll be right back. I'm gonna put on a light real quick. Sorry.
Yeah, take your time.
Worries,
go ahead.
Worries. So I'm gonna ask Rachel then and put him on the spot first. How about album?
Rock and Roll Over.
Rock and Roll Over.
Yeah. Hands down.
That was fast. Yeah,
hands down. I was just talking about that record to my friend John today. I went over to visit him and I don't know how it even came up. Something came up about that record. And he said the same thing to me. He goes, it's the perfect rock record. He goes, you can't get any better record than Rock and Roll Over. I was like, I agree. And just to go with it as well, that sticker you get with it.
Yep.
The album cover as a whole.
The cover. Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's like, it's just the artwork no one has even come close to that kind of artwork where it could be a patch, it could be a tattoo, like everything all encompassing. Just you could stare at that for hours and probably find different stuff. And you guys, I'm sure you know about the blue tier, right?
Oh yeah, the Paul Stanley. Yep.
Yeah. So I got a buddy of mine, Mike, sent me one of those because I didn't have it and I couldn't find it. And he's like, he collects a lot of Kiss stuff. He goes, I got about 10 of them. I'll send you one.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I was going to say you'll always find that one friend that has like way too much Kiss shit. How about you, Snake? What's your favorite Kiss album?
Alive.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Alive. With hands down. It just,
not Alive 2, Alive, right?
Yeah. It's Alive. Like, I love Alive 2, but Alive was the one that just, it changed again. It was part of that transformation that I was going through. And that I stared at that album inside and out for hours upon hours upon hours and listened to that record over and over. And it just, it was everything that I wanted a band to be. And You know, that was an era where there was, you know, in the 70s then, there was a lot of great live records that came out.
Oh, yeah, that was a big time for that. Yep.
You know, Frampton Comes Alive and you know, Deep Purple and Cheap Trick and Ted Nugent and so on.
Bob Seger, like, he had a couple great ones, too. Yeah.
And so it was a sign of the times, and to me, that one stood head and shoulders above all the rest. And yep. That to me is still the epitome of what that band is about. Mm-hmm. They're just in that recording they captured the essence of why I love that band so much. Still to this day, I mean,
What would you say if you had to pick a studio album?
Dress to Kill.
There you go.
Oh, this one off the beaten love it. Path. Wow, love
it.
Really?
Love it. Yep.
And there's another one. Like, if you stare at the back cover and squint your eyes, it looks like Gene Simmons is cross-eyed. Because of the makeup. Very bizarre.
So Tom and I were at New York for the last shows. And, you know, we did the typical, where's the subway? Where's the spot? Went there with a couple friends, did the four of us, took the photo there, took the photo at the subway. It is so original, the things that Kiss has that fans can all identify. Like, you know exactly what we're talking about when I say, oh, we had to go there. There are things like that. Or when Rachel's talking about, oh, yeah, the patch or the sticker from Rock and Roll Online. It's amazing what this band has done and how much of an impact all the little tidbits and miscellaneous things about their career. What about concerts? So before you guys opened for them twice, how many times did you see them?
Oh,
well, I saw them. A lot, I would say not as many as some, but I would say a good 15 to 20 times.
Wow.
I saw them on my first show, and then every tour after that they played, which after Dynasty, so that was Love Gun.
Yep.
I was mixed up.
They had Dynasty in 79.
Yeah, that was right after Love Gun.
Yeah, they didn't do it live.
Yeah, because they had the solo albums in 78.
Unless you saw them at the Palladium for Unmasked. That was the only show for that.
No, I didn't.
With Eric Carr. Yeah. Yep. So then afterwards, they started doing what? Creatures of the Night, I would say, is the next tours. And then the makeup.
So I saw that, but... Yeah, without the makeup, and Vinnie Vincent was playing.
How was that? I'm curious. I always want to know when people said they saw Vinnie.
It was cool. It was at the Tower Theater in Upper Darby, and I missed Accept was opening, and I missed them.
I saw the Creatures of the Night tour, same spot, and Accept opened up.
You saw him
in makeup.
Yeah, I saw Creatures of the Night. He saw Vinny in makeup. He saw the Warrior.
So I thought this was Creatures of the Night.
So you saw them with makeup, Rachel, or without makeup?
No, this was without makeup, but they had the tank.
Lick It Up.
So that was a Lick It Up.
Yeah, that's Lick It Up. Yeah. They still had the tank.
My bad.
Yeah,
they still had the tank. Yep. So I missed the Creatures of the Night. I missed that one.
Yep.
But then after that, I saw them on just about every tour that they came around. I remember one night. Where did we go? We didn't go together, Snake. I went to see them, and Wasp was opening. I've seen Wasp open for him. I've seen did I see Rory Gallagher? I'm getting all my concerts mixed up. But I saw them a bunch. I would say about 15 times.
Yeah.
Wow. Maybe 10 to 15 times before we started touring with them.
And you stayed on with them even without the makeup, because we've talked to some people that kind of signed off when they took the makeup off, and you know, Zeus and I both think that Unmasked, when I say Unmasked, I should say non-makeup era, is fucking incredible. There's so many
great songs,
so much great shit from that era.
Main songwriters stayed with the band.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah. And I couldn't see them with Ace and Peter in the non-makeup, you know,
right,
glam kind of look. I don't think that would have worked very well with those two.
But even after when Ace was out of Kiss, I went to see him at L'Amour.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
nice.
In Brooklyn, I saw him, and he was just drinking that Portuguese wine that's in the basket. There were four of them on top of his amp, and they were gone by the end of the night.
Oh, I believe it.
Yeah, and so
wine with me, brother. Come on.
Yeah, we thought the show was done. You know, we had to drive back to Tom's River. I had to be to work the next day. And so we're walking, and we hear him start doing like a blues jam. I'm like, is that Ace? And he's like, they don't let me play this in my old band. You know what I mean? So we went back in, and he jammed. It was like a 10-minute song. And then finally I'm like, man, I got to go. But if you had something to do with Kiss, I want to see it. Yeah.
That's awesome.
How about you, Snake? How many times do you think you saw them as a fan?
Well, then you'd have to include all the shows we did with them on tour too.
Okay.
But before we got the opportunity to tour with them, it wasn't as many as Rachel.
Yeah.
I remember I had tickets for Madison Square Garden to go see the Dynasty tour.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice. And no one wanted to go with me.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. And so...
So sad.
it was terrible.
Yeah.
But I ended up actually going to see the Kinks. And
that's not bad.
Richard Hell and the Voidoids at Convention Hall in Asbury Park same night.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I saw Creatures of the Night. Did I see Lick It Up? I don't recall. I thought I saw Hot in the Shade.
Yep, that was a great tour.
That's when they started bringing back some of their older songs and material.
Some classics, yeah.
Yeah.
That was with the Sphinx, right?
Yes. Yep.
I think so. Probably only like five or six times.
Yeah. Okay. And then all the times you guys played with them. The last question of that bunch is we always ask people, what's their favorite Kiss memory? Maybe getting something for Christmas, or maybe playing with them, or maybe meeting them. What would you say your favorite memory of Kiss is?
Sounds like it was your first shows. I mean, could have been. I mean, but anything that sticks out, Rachel, like a specific memory that's like, I mean, I know you talked about your experience going to see that first show and you could smell the weed and remember the girl with the ammonia and all that shit. Like,
yeah,
you know?
that show, seeing that was like first time seeing a bra strap come off. You know what I mean? And it was a big deal. Meeting Gene for the first time when we were, who were we with, Snake? Were we with Aerosmith?
I thought we
or was
were,
it Bon Jovi?
Well, the first time it was
at the LA Forum.
Right.
Yeah. And he came out to the show and I met him, you know, we all met him and we were all geeking out, but I didn't know what to do. So I just sang the last verse of the live version of God of Thunder to him. and it's when he used to do the Napoleon thing and keep his hand, he'd put his hand in his jacket all the time. And he's like, very good, very good, very good. And I go, man, I go, all kidding aside, you're the reason I play bass. And Gene being Gene just looks at me, goes, someday a kid is going to tell you the same thing. And
that's awesome.
I was like, that's really cool. You know, that he said that, and that was very polite of him, but that, you know, I doubt that's ever going to happen. And then a kid said that to me and I was like, you know, like when you get the thought bubble, like the Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
And I'm like, holy crap.
Jesus, well, he was right.
Yeah.
You know what? One more time that he amazes me, but there's that. There's also, and this is very recent. When we were on tour with them, there were the last two shows that we were doing with them. We watched them we watched every.
You're talking about the end of the road?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So but you guys toured for them, if I'm not mistaken, only in Europe, correct?
Yeah. Germany and then a few other shows with them.
Yep. Okay.
Which is ridiculous, because if we all were bitching about it, why the fuck isn't Skid Row opening up for them here? Old episodes we were bitching.
Those are old episodes. Like, people can go back and listen to us bitching about how the fact with opening band.
Yeah, you guys weren't, and they had a fucking painter opening up. But that's
go ahead, Rachel.
So We watched every one of their VIP, the meet and greet and their sound checks. And it was just amazing. What did we hear? We heard them do Lover All I Can.
Oh, nice.
Going Blind.
Got to Choose them, and shit.
Yeah. Like, they did so much cool shit. And it was really fun. And they were super cool to us. But it was the second to last show. The last show, I believe, was in Cologne. And so every show that we did with them in an arena, we would just put our backs to the security wall and sit on the steps. And we bring a few beers out there and just watch the show from that vantage point. And it was amazing. And Snake and I just kept looking at each other like, what the? This is unbelievable. And Gene started, he's messing with us. He's the water bottle and all this stuff. And just totally busting our chops. And it was great. Yeah. But we couldn't stay for the last show because we had to drive back to Heathrow to catch flights in the morning. So, or the afternoon. So where was the second to last show, Snake? It was Germany, but I don't remember what city. Anyway.
Berlin, Frankfurt. I don't know. I'm just throwing up big cities.
We're sitting there and I go to Snake. I go, dude, if we don't get any of the shows, because there was a possibility of us doing a show here and there on the American run. They took Evan, which is cool as hell. I mean, opening for your dad.
Pretty cool. It's cool. Yeah. Very cool. Yeah.
So I go, if we don't do any shows with them, what we're experiencing here could be our last Kiss show ever.
Ever.
Yep. And then it just, the gravity of the situation of us seeing the shows before we even knew each other, years and years and years before we knew each other, seeing the same show a few days apart, being our first concert, changing our lives. And Scotty as well, he saw them the same week in Nassau Coliseum.
Yep.
So, and that's now, insane. And now this whole, 40-year circle.
Amazing.
To get to this point, I'm getting chills telling the story. To get to this point, we're two best buds that started this band started because of the band we're watching right now.
Yeah,
it's awesome,
and that is the reason. And that was the common thread. Kiss is the common thread of Snake and I.
Yeah,
he's a metal guy. I'm a punk and glam guy, but Kiss was that sacred ground that we convened on.
That's awesome.
So that memory of watching that show, that it was huge. I'm sick. I turned 60 tomorrow, Snake. We're only a few months apart.
Oh shit.
So
early birthday, bro.
Happy early birthday. Hell yeah.
Thanks. So for guys our age, for it to affect us like that, they did something right.
Absolutely. It's a great point.
Did Gene come up to you afterwards and go, "That'll be $500 meet and greet that you owe me"?
I was waiting for it.
Yeah, exactly.
So we
it was Mannheim, by the way. It was
Mannheim. Yes.
Yeah.
But Tom and I, Gene has been, he's so creative. I mean, everyone, I know he gets his shit, but he's so creative. So he had one of these events that he did last year in Vegas, and it was an evening with Gene Simmons.
And it was a weekend event.
Yeah, a weekend event. You'd go there and you'd have dinner, and he would go around every table like a wedding and sit down with you for five minutes while you eat your dinner and talk with you. Yeah. There was memorabilia.
Hey, Gene, I'm eating here. Can you
come? Yeah, right. Let me have some of that.
He also had a concert for like 100 of us in a small room in Vegas.
Playing deep cuts.
You met him. You got autographs. You bought his merch. He gave you a shit ton of stuff full of Kiss shit.
Yep.
Like $5,000.
Yeah.
So we decided to jump in and do it. I'm like, fuck it. What you described is exactly what me and him did when we met Gene and sat down and talked with him. Yeah. And we were like over emotional. Like, I'm a 50-year-old fucking man, and you're with your best friend, and you meet Gene Simmons, and you're experiencing this Kiss shit, and you're like trying to not sound like a fucking idiot, but trying to tell him how much he means to you.
Yeah.
Well, he was disarming because he comes up, he meets, we meet him, and he's like, What are you two doing together?
He didn't understand this.
He couldn't understand the concept that Zeus and I were friends, that we,
because there were married couples mostly there and other
people. He's like, what do you mean you're friends? Where are the women? We're like, no, it's just
fuck each other's girlfriends. We're like, no, we're friends from college. I don't understand. I'm like, friends, Gene. We're friends. That's it. He's like, okay. But he was talking to you. You look at him and he makes you feel like I am listening 100% my attention. Yeah. Yeah. What, you know, and you are important. And you're like, this is fucking Gene.
Let me ask you guys a question about how at the beginning we do the intro. You guys opened up for them on the farewell tour way back.
2000. Yeah.
2000. So 25, you know, 20 something years later, 20, almost 25 years later, was your experience like markedly different with the band then as opposed to now in terms of how Gene and Paul were, about how you guys were? Did you notice anything in your interaction or just your experience with the band with that like 25 year stretch?
They were always so gracious and kind to us. I had an incident where I broke my ankle pretty bad at the very beginning of the Kiss tour in 2000.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And the next day, the following day after it happened, or 2 days later, we had a show. Paul Stanley came in the dressing room after we arrived to check on me and to see how I was doing and see if I needed anything. And it was such – sometimes it's really difficult to see the humanity in these larger than life figures. And it was completely, you want to say disarming. Yeah. I'm thinking to myself, here's my idol, my hero, giving a shit about if I'm okay. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just so humbling. And 23 years later, when we played with them in Europe, they were just as humble and cool and funny and gracious and accommodating. I mean, there was no airs about them. They were all like in conversing with you freely. It wasn't like, yeah, take it easy, gotta go, or attempting to like just make themselves scarce or anything like that. They were very wide open and accommodating, and there'd be so many nights, because I'm such a pest, that I would go into, you know, find them, because it was like, it's Kiss, I'm going to get the most out of this.
Oh yeah.
And they would be like, come on in the dressing room, and they're, you know, all 6'12" with the makeup on, and I'm sitting there warming up, and I wanted to take in everything that I possibly could in those moments, because as Rachel stated, like, we were sitting there in Mannheim, and it the reality hit us.
Mm, yeah.
Like, holy shit. And like, first of all, the first reality is, can you believe we're sitting in the photographer's pit for Kiss after seeing them in 1977 and after all this time? And can you believe that this might be the very last time? And it was just, it's, we're so fortunate, you know, to be in this band and to have the friendship that we have with one another, but and to be able to share those moments like that is really, really overwhelming. And
that's awesome.
To be able to have that experience in your late 50s with the band that inspired you to do what you do, it's a full circle moment.
Yeah.
You know, you go from being 13 years old in the rafters or on the general mission floor, wherever you might be, seeing Piper and Kiss, to 2023 in Mannheim, Germany, sitting in the photographer's pit, looking up at your heroes and going, they're still amazing. The songs are still amazing. The show is still amazing. And we could actually sit down and talk and hang out with them. Yep. What the fuck. Like, what a great life.
Would you consider that you know, kind of circling back to favorite memories, would you consider that like, you know, maybe, I mean, everybody's first show is probably their first memory, but the story that you just told and the emotions that you kind of just expressed, would you consider that like right up there as in terms of like your favorite Kiss memory?
Oh, I was checking on something. Did you, Rachel, do you talk about when we got asked to leave and came back, right?
Oh, I didn't say that. I was going
to
tell that.
What do you mean? Asked to leave.
You tell the story. You tell the story.
Okay, so this was one of the shows overseas on the end of the road tour. And we'd sit there, and if there was room by Gene, cool. If there's room by Paul, whatever. Sometimes we'd go back and forth. But this particular night, we were sitting kind of between center stage and Gene. So between Paul and Gene, and it had been cool for nights. Every night we did it. And for some reason, I guess it was a local security guy. This big dude comes up and he made us leave. Like we're filming with the phone and all that stuff. And they were cool with it. Kiss was totally cool with it. And this dude, I thought he was telling all of us to not film. So we're like, maybe the venue has different policies. Yeah. But then he's like, you got to go. And we all got up and walked over. We're around the side of the stage. And Paul comes to our side and he goes like that. And we're just like, and then all of a sudden somebody talked to the dude and he was gone. We didn't see him the rest of the night.
Oh,
and
Paul, that's awesome.
Paul looks at us and goes, like, get back in your seats. You know what
that's
I mean?
So cool. Oh, God.
And our, it was the two of us, our guitar tech, Casey, and our LD, Will. We were all there watching it together. And Casey, now he just turned 30. So his mom is a huge Kiss. His sister's name is Shandy. That's how big
of a poor girl.
Yeah, that's how
loves
big
that song.
I can't
that's
stand
how,
that song. I fucking hate how, it. But
that's how big of big Kiss is in that household. So
yeah.
He's a Kiss fan, and Will's a huge Kiss fan. And Will found the video. He found it on YouTube of Paul going, looking the side of the stage, going like, what the fuck? And then going.
That's so fucking cool.
It was a great experience. We're like, wow.
Hey, guys, don't sell yourselves short. I was telling you guys about like listening to your shit ourselves. Like we've all ear guitared to your fucking music, too. Right.
Awesome.
And here we are.
Holy shit. Yeah.
Like,
we
you
have.
Know, if I think of the kid. That, you know, at one point you guys were fucking the band that I put that Slave to the Grind album on. I don't know until I wore it out. And here
yeah,
we
now
are.
And now we're talking
you
with
guys,
you.
I mean, it's, yeah. Like everything. So you guys are right there, too. And I know we've talked some Kiss. I hope you don't mind if I ask you real quickly a little Skid Row stuff.
No, man.
So, yeah, I know. The band that you're actually in.
You don't
yeah.
mind if I talk to you about the band you're in.
Yeah. Right. So now you have Eric, who came from Heat. Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And, another album we've covered on our side.
The guy on our show with us picked Heat 2 as one of the albums to review. I'm like, the fuck is this Swedish shit? But I was like, holy shit, this guy's got fucking pipes.
Yeah.
Right.
And when I heard he's joining your band, I'm like, fuck, I actually know this guy.
Yep.
And you released the album. You started a tour. There were some health problems, I believe, with Eric. And now you're back to finally touring on this album, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, we have a lot of shows coming up.
Yep. And correct me if I'm wrong, there was a story or a headline that came out recently that you guys are re-recording or might be looking at some classic Skid Row with Eric or performing
no,
it.
That's a Blabbermouth soundbite.
There we go. Okay.
I had done an interview and we were talking about one album in particular, actually a couple albums, maybe like the Johnny era stuff that we did. It said, would you ever reapproach any Kiss songs, maybe from the Johnny era or maybe like something off of because Subhuman Race came up and he goes, I know you're not a fan of that record, but would you ever think of maybe covering, like revisiting one of those songs or something from the Johnny era? I said, yeah, anything's possible. That was the extent of it. I mean, it's on there. You can listen to it. So it, every, you know,
Yeah. As soon as somebody says anything's possible, then Blabber is like, oh, they're gonna re-record everything with Eric.
Yeah. Oh man, dude, I took lumps of shit for that. Just like you go to, I saw that and I'm like, that's not what I said, first of all. And then I was like, oh, I gotta read the comments because it's kind of like sport, you know what I mean? It's
totally
just like, you go down there, it's like, how dare he? Blah, blah, blah. He doesn't know. So, and I'm just like, you know what? That kind of makes me want to say, hey guys, let's do the whole first two records with Eric. You know what I mean? It's like, listen, asshole, I don't tell you what color to paint your bedroom. Don't tell us what to do with our songs. You know what I mean?
See, here you go. This is perfect. Maybe Blabbermouth will pick up that sound bite and run with
it. There you go.
It's funny because I try to get a newer version of Subhuman Races. Mine skips. These are CDs I've had since the 90s. Mm. I can't fucking find that thing. It's so hard to find. I'm still a CD guy.
Yeah.
And I can't get it at anything like other than someone selling it on eBay for like $300 for a fucking CD, which I'm not that stubborn. I'll play it on Spotify. I don't want to. Right. I'd rather have the CD downloaded to my phone. But yeah, I can't find it. And Eddie Trunk swears by
loves
it.
That album.
Every time we have him on, we bring you guys up.
Always talks about Subhuman Race.
Have you heard that? We're like, yeah, we know, buddy. That's your favorite fucking Skid Row album. We know.
So you know how Taylor Swift just did all her re-records?
Yep.
Yeah, to fuck her label and over and whatever that shit.
Well, what we're gonna do is we're gonna re-record her re-records.
Eric. Skid Row does Taylor Swift.
Yeah, there you go. Wow.
I mean, who wouldn't want that?
Yeah. Can't wait for that one to hit the wire.
Is that kind of like a Sharon Osbourne kind of thing? You want to cut some of the musicians out or something? Do that shit over, and all of a sudden, that's why you're going to change some of the old albums around? Oh, why not? Some people did that.
We'll re-record other people's music. How's that?
There you go. There you go.
Now, as long as you guys are recording and continuing to tour, because your band, I feel, is so different than, unfortunately, a lot of the bands that got lumped into that one era. You guys, I think, withstand the test of time because your songwriting, your music, it's just heads above a lot of your contemporaries and peers then.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, you guys came into a time where I think there was like that era where everything was like the Poisons, the Warrants, and all that other stuff. But then there was like Guns N' Roses, Skid Row, Metallica's Black album came out. Like a kind of a transformation away from the kind of glamier look to kind of a stripped down hard rock metal kind of stuff. And I think your band fits that because I mean, you're all over the place. You don't have to play one style. It's the songs, right? And your songs, I got my fucking 15-year-old in the car listening to your shit because I knew you guys are coming on. And like, all of a sudden I hear 18 in life, I remember.
That's awesome.
And I'm like, the guy that wrote that is coming on the show, those guys, you know? And that's fantastic because if you take away all the, like, the stuff that music is today and all stuff, and you put it to fresh ears, they will like it because it's
music. But totally.
You know, they're not looking for bands that started in the 80s because that's not how music sells these days.
Right.
But the songs still remain, and that's what the difference is to your stuff. Your music and songs are just, I think, timeless and fucking kick-ass.
Appreciate you saying that.
Agreed.
Yeah. Hey. Guys, I mean, we can't thank you enough for coming on, sharing all your KISS stories with us.
It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Where can people find anything about Skid Row? Like tour information, websites, online, social media?
All the usual suspects, Instagram, Facebook, X, skidrow.com, blah, 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 Facebook. Yeah. All the usual suspects. It's the same thing that everybody does. And we start February 28th, I believe, in Boise, Idaho, and or 27th. I think it's
we fly out the 28th, I think.
Leap year.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
I think. I could be wrong, but we start in Boise and we work our way over to Oregon and then up into Canada, across about half of Canada, then come down through Michigan.
Awesome.
Do you make it up in the New England area?
We were there last year. I mean, I'm sure we will be. That's where
you'll come back. You'll come back.
We'll definitely catch you then.
Awesome.
Yeah. The
27th in Garden City, Idaho.
Okay. My bad.
Nice.
I thought.
Nice.
Are our flights the right day?
Hey, so you're glad we brought this up, huh?
Yeah.
Might want to fix that.
So Snake Sabo, Rachel Boland, Skid Row, fucking hard rock legends in the house. You guys rule. Thank you so much for your time. Always a ton of fun talking Kiss, and we love you guys. Thank you so much for spending so much time with us. Appreciate it.
Thank you guys, man. It was a blast. Really
awesome. God bless on the tour. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, fellas.
Tom, that was Snake and Rachel from Skid Row. Thoughts?
So much fun. I love when we just nerd out and talk about the band that we love. And to hear those guys talk about their experiences on the End of the Road tour, and, you know, both talking about, you know, coming full circle as the band that brought them together, and then seeing them, you know, at the End of the Road, just great stuff. And that's, and then of course, talking about their concert experiences and favorite albums, and just, that's what it's all about. And to think that the four of us are just like I said, nerding out on the band that we love. It brings people together. And this is such a great episode to hear that, not to mention fucking two legends, the co-founders of Skid Row.
Yeah. The Gene and Paul of Skid Row, basically the songwriters.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
No, this isn't anybody. This is a band that had the number one album, the first hard rock, heavy metal album on the new SoundScan way of counting albums that came out in the '90s.
That's
they
right.
did it.
Yep.
You know, and they were the number one album. As I was trying to explain to them, like, they're like witnessing, watching Kiss and being like, I can't believe this.
Yep.
Well, I'm looking at Tom and we're talking to Skid Row, and I'm saying, you guys are
same
just
thing.
Like that for us and a lot of other people, man. And it's great, that story Rachel tells about Gene saying, someday somebody will say that to you about being his favorite guitar. And then you said to him, now give me 40 cents. I want to go use. I need it for the candy machine. Just amazing stuff. I'm always amazed of all these people that we meet, how personable most of these people are. These guys, before we got on the air, were just full of fucking great stories, laughing, talking, sharing fucking friends, mutual friends that we had, talking about shit. I didn't realize how much of a big wrestling fan Snake was.
Yeah.
Just telling stories. Awesome guys. So personal. You can give and take with these guys, and they're just so kind. And we hope you love it.
And I think it comes through, too, you know, when we have these people on to talk about Kiss. It's almost like a safe space where they can talk about the band that they love. Cause we've mentioned this before. Not everybody likes Kiss, and some people hold their Kiss fandom kind of private because sometimes they don't have people to talk about. So we get them in here and it's like, okay, welcome to the show. No pun intended. And talk about the band that you love. And it just pours out of them.
It's
awesome.
A release for a lot of people
to
have this.
Yeah.
Side of them as always that kid that loved Kiss and all that it entails. And we'll have wrestlers on here. We'll have authors on here. We'll have musicians on there. When they get to talk about Kiss, that's fun for them.
Yep.
When they have to talk about their jobs and the tour and past members, that's not exciting for them. This shit is. So,
yep.
We hope you enjoyed it. We did. And Tom, what we do next is we go to question of the week.
Yep. And our question of the week is brought to you by the wonderful Shout It Out Loudcast Hall of Famer, Tony the Taxman Barone. And that is ABCPA Inc. Tony is the man for all of your personal and business tax accounting and financial expertise that you may need for anything. Okay. And Zeus and I have both used him for our taxes. He did our taxes in 2023, and he's going to be doing them again in 2024. Him and his business, they are fantastic, communicative, responsive, fast, amazing to work with. You can check them out on their website at abcpainc.com. There's links for all the services they provide, all kinds of resources, a link to send an email to them, and a link to find their phone number. Frequently asked questions, all kinds of information to find out exactly what ABCPA Inc. could do for you. And believe me, they are amazing. We can speak from experience. And of course, It's Tony the Taxman Barone, Hall of Famer, behind the scenes of it all. He's the best. Check him out.
Hey, can he help people with passport problems? I want to go visit Tahiti, but I can't go right now.
All right. Our question of the week comes from John Restano, a.k.a. Junior Vintage, a.k.a. Mr. Antonio 2005. He gives us a question with four parts to it. Of course, we're only going to go for one right now.
Jesus.
Yes. Jesus Christ, Junior Vintage. Your favorite piece of KISS memorabilia that you own right now, and why is it your favorite? Very simple.
Oh, snap. Looking. I'm not a collector, so it's none of this shit really moves me. I mean, I have the Destroyer box set autographed by Gene, and he personally signed it in front of me.
That's a piece of memorabilia.
I got a great 50th birthday gift from a friend, and that's Peter Criss's solo album framed and autographed.
That's a piece of fucking kick-ass memorabilia.
Or maybe it's the KISS golden ticket,
which
I will open with the Loudcasters on the Gene Demon tier Friday night, tomorrow night.
Yeah, I would say for me, it's kind of easy because it's not necessarily memorabilia per se. It's something that I've had since the beginning of my time as a KISS fan, and that is the original 1977 copy of Love Gun that my cousin gave me that started this entire thing. I have it framed. It's a mess, but I love it. It's just, it's beaten up, but it's in a frame. But other than that, I would probably say that the road case that we got from the Gene event in Vegas, we did the video of the live.
I forgot all about that.
Yep. The live unboxing, and Gene autographed that road case. So I would throw that in there, as well as a newer copy that I have of Love Gun, autographed by both Ace from Creatures Fest and by Gene from the Vegas event.
I thought, Tom, you were going to say it was a poster of some sort.
Ah, this one only has a little bit of a, you know, an egg and pepper steak and cheese, you know, grind a little bit of a oil stain on the left-hand corner there.
Got a little bit of the marinara, some melted prosciutto dripped in the corner. Should be able to get it off.
Anyway, yeah, thanks for the question.
Yep, great question, John Jr., Mr. Antonio 2005, whatever. Love the questions.
Ramaswamy.
Love the questions.
Brown fucking Barrett Combe, whatever the fuck their names are, almighty, on the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
All right, Tom, where can people find us?
Always start with our website, shoutitoutloudcast.com. That's where you can find all the episodes.
Always look high.
That you can find all of our episodes. Shout out Loudcast, our Dorm Damage album review crew, Zeppelin Chronicles, links to our Patreon, links to our merch page, links to our Amazon shopping links, links to all of our social media. And you can send us messages directly from the website, and you can comment on individual specific episodes. And we receive all those in the form of an email. So you can do that. If you want your question of the week read, we put them in a little folder. We pull one out for the week's episode. So you can do that through the website, or you can do the old fashioned way. Send us an email, shoutitoutloudcast@gmail.com. We love to tell you guys, we read every single email. We might not get to all of them on the show, but trust me, Zeus and I read every email. We talk about them. So please continue to do that. And of course, social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, all those things. We love it. Follow us, get involved, tag us with some cool shit. Don't tag us in stupid shit, please. It'll annoy me. You don't want me annoyed, because I get annoyed and then everybody gets annoyed. And if he gets up, Andrew gets to get up, it'll be anarchy. All right, there's my Breakfast Club for the thing. And that's it. So please continue with the questions of the week.
Sit down, John.
Did your mom marry Mr.
Mr. Simmons.
Anyways, question of the week, please. We want more and more and more, because we do a mailbag episode at the end of each year. And yes, it's only the beginning of 2024, but it's going to move fast like they all do. So please send us those questions.
All right, Tom, people can always DM us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. They can find us on Threads, TikTok, motherfucker. What's the other one that's out there now too? Oh, and you can also find our Spotify playlists out there too. Those are always a lot of fun. And subscribe to our YouTube channel and give us one of those 5-star child reviews on Apple Podcasts so people can find our podcast, and it helps the show move up the food chain. It's a big help to us. We always tell people that they can go to our website. You can get merch. You can go to our Amazon store. You can get tons of stuff there. We're getting emails and messages about people seeing Ace Cult and Shout It Out Loudcast shirts at different concerts or venues. If you do, if you're going to wear something like that and you're at a show, send us a photo of yourself. We'll put it in on our website. It has a ton of photos of loudcasters wearing our gear. Fucking love it. So send that to us and give us permission to put it on there, and that'll be great. What we do next is we end with famous last words. Tom, do you have any?
Yeah, of course I have some famous last words. From Rachel's favorite song, sitting in the back, her head down in my lap, the moonlight shining down on her hair. The radio was playing, her fingertips were straying, her mama didn't know she was there. No.
Well, in addition to that, Tom, she walks by moonlight. No one really knows. Enchanted starlight, never going home.
Yes.
Dave Snake Sabo, Rachel Bolan, Skid Row, Loudcasters, Kiss Army, Tom, thank you.
Snake Sabo, Rachel Bolan, you guys are amazing. Thank you so much for spending time with us. We had a blast. We hope you guys had a blast listening to them. Everybody out there, Loudcasters, patrons, you guys kick ass. Thank you so much. Zeus, as always, my friend, thank you.
Peace out, Girl Scout.
Hit the music.
What I'd like now is for all you fat, out of shape, worldwide kiss-tards to keep the noise down while I show your ladies what a real sexy man looks like.
Listen, all you people out there sitting on rented furniture, settle down. Cut the music.
Anybody seen Richie? Anybody know why Richie did Bobby Lupo?
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.